going down to their class at this time. We're going to be beginning a new series this morning, and which will be continuing for the next few weeks. Do remember that Brother Staten will be here on the 18th. That's Sunday morning, the 18th, and certainly looking forward to having him here in service with us. We're starting a new series this morning that's titled Bold, and our theme scripture throughout the series, and we're going to be taking a look at how God worked through the early church in the book of Acts. We're obviously not going all the way through the book of Acts, but looking at some times when God was at work through the apostles and the early church. And the theme scripture for the series will be Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1. And the writer said, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Our scripture for today is taken from Acts chapter 4, verse number 5. And if you would read audibly with me, we're going to read down to verse number 13. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the chief priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Today I want to speak, as we kick off this series, about amazing boldness. Amazing boldness. And how God works through ordinary people to bring about amazing things. So let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for letting us be together today. Thank you, Lord, that as we've worshiped, your presence has been here among us and you've moved in our hearts already. But Lord, we come to receive from your word now. We come to be challenged by it. And Lord, I pray that you will use me to speak as you want me to speak, Lord, to say what you want me to say. And Lord, I pray that every one of our hearts will be open to receive from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Our theme, of course, is bold. And as we look at some stories from the book of Acts, and if you're not familiar with the book of Acts, it is the history of the early church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John begin the New Testament by describing the works of Jesus while he was on earth up till the point of his ascension. So they cover all the miracles, the parables, they cover the cross and the resurrection, up to the ascension. The book of Acts begins with the ascension of Jesus, and it tells us the story of how the early church began and of how God worked through the early church. So for the next four weeks, we're going to be looking at how God works through his people. Now, the early church didn't have a lot of the things that we think makes a church today. They didn't have sound systems. They didn't have multimedia, of course, it hadn't been invented. They didn't even have buildings. They met wherever they could to worship Jesus. And so as we go through these stories, one of the themes of the book of Acts is the boldness, not only of the apostles, but of the ordinary disciples, the followers of Jesus. How God works through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why don't we see the same book of Acts type miracles happening in our world today? There's several reasons for that, and we do see the miraculous happen. We do see God at work, but there are several things that sometimes challenge us. It could be that we don't have bold faith and bold actions that lead to those kind of spiritual results because we're so accustomed to depending on ourselves. We can figure things out. We have more resources to be able to do things, and sometimes we just never come to the place of actually trusting God to do the miraculous. Sometimes because of our rationality, you know, in everything we're taught, be rational. Think things through. Everything has an explanation. Here's what challenges us about the miraculous is, other than God, there is no explanation for the miraculous. That challenges our rational minds. Because by definition, a miracle goes beyond all of the laws of nature. It supersedes everything and anything, and it happens because of God. So the best we can say is it's a God thing. That challenges us. But I want to give you a definition of boldness that's kind of going to set the tone for our subject. It's this: boldness is behavior born out of belief. Boldness is behavior that is born out of belief. This is important, because if I believe that God is supreme, if I believe that He has all power and that He loves me and He backs me up, it changes the way that I approach life. If I believe that God loves me, and if I believe that God is capable of doing amazing things, then it changes my behavior. And so it's important for us to understand that, because what you believe determines how you behave. That's an important point. We'll get it up on the screen. What you believe determines how you behave. The things that I believe influence and direct, or should influence and direct, my faith, and should influence and direct my behavior. Heard a politician recently saying, well, I'm for things that I don't actually believe in, but our belief should determine how we behave and act. So as we look at the book of Acts, we're going to be looking at it through that lens. See, if you believe that everyone is criticizing you, you behave tentatively. If you believe everybody is talking about you, you become almost paranoid. Ever have that feeling? See two people talking, all of a sudden they're talking about you, and really what they're talking about is what was on special at Walmart this week? But in your mind, you begin to behave differently. Don't anybody raise your hand about this one at all, please. Did you ever think that two people were talking about you, and then you accosted one and found out that you were not the center of their universe? You know, you went up to them and said, hey, what were you talking about me for? And they said, we were talking about what Walmart has on special. You remember how small that made you feel? If you believe you're going to fail, you're probably doomed from the start because you're already planning to fail. But if you believe that the one true God of heaven is calling you and equipping you and loving you and leading you. You begin to live your life with a holy sense of boldness that says, I believe that God can be at work in my circumstance, my situation, that God will be at work when I ask Him to be at work. God is at work. The Greek word that's translated as boldness means more than just speaking. It means outspokenness, but it means assurance. It means courage. It means confidence. It means to act without fear. My prayer through this is that somehow that God would take us and amp up our level of holy boldness to a whole new level. That God would give us the desire to act without fearing. That God would just make us bold for Him. Let me give you a little bit of background to our text. Peter and John were going up to the temple and at the hour of prayer. There was a lame guy laying there. He'd been lame about 40 years. He'd been lame from birth. He couldn't walk. And he was begging for alms. As Peter and John were going by and he was asking for alms, which was their social system. It was the way they supported the infirm. Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. And right then, you got to think the beggar is saying, okay, just keep moving. You're not the guy I'm looking for. But then he said, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that guy got up, his knees and his ankles received strength. And he not only walked, but the Bible tells us that he went into the temple walking and leaping. Now, he didn't even have physiotherapy. You know how if you've been in a cast for a while and you get out of a cast and they want to work with you to regain strength and to make sure you have mobility? He didn't have any of that. He was perfectly healed. He's walking, but not only walking, he's never done this. He's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God so much that people are saying, what on earth is going on? And they looked at him and they said, hey, the Bible doesn't give his name. So I'm going to name him for my purposes this morning. They said, hey, that's Frank. We know him. He can't walk. But he's walking now. Not only is he walking, he's leaping higher. I couldn't leap that high on my best day. And he's Frank, the lame guy, the crippled guy. You know what God was saying? I've got your back, Peter. When you speak in my name, I'll act. And before, you know, Peter was an interesting guy. We can identify with him. Because Peter was characterized by bold intentions. Peter was the master of the big statement. I mean, it wasn't just this big, it was this big. The big statement. You know, one of the best known stories about Peter is when the Lord is speaking to him, telling his disciples that he's going to be crucified. And Peter, he's surrounded by all these guys. And basically what Peter says is, if all of these losers leave you, I will never, ever deny you. If Peter and James, if James and John and the rest of them, and Matthias and all the rest, if they leave you, you can count on me. Because I almost said, you got a friend in me. He said, I will never leave you. Everybody else might, but I won't. And then you know the story that when Jesus was before the council, a little girl said, you a follower of Jesus? And he said, no. And came back again, you a follower of Jesus? And he said, no. Comes back again, and then he, you know, Peter lost whatever he had and said, no. And he cursed and he swore. And then when we come to the cross, it wasn't Peter that was at the cross, it was the others. Peter was the guy that would make the big, bold statement, the big, bold gesture, but often didn't carry through. But something happened to Peter. Jesus, after the resurrection, told his disciples, go and find Peter and bring him to me because he might have failed, but I'm a God that restores. You know what? You might fail, but he's the one who restores our failure. He's the one who doesn't give up on us easily. Sometimes we give up on ourselves more easily than he does. And Peter began to follow Jesus again. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says that there was a hostile crowd that was looking at the believers and saying, these guys are drunk, they're acting strange, we don't really get what's going on, they're all talking in our languages, and we know they can't speak our languages, and again, that's supernatural. And Peter, who caved for a little girl, stands up and begins to speak to a hostile crowd. And he tells them how Jesus was the Messiah that they crucified. And how he had died and he rose again. He told them, you're a corrupt generation. It wasn't politically correct. And he finishes by saying in Acts 2, verse 38 in the New NIV, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people were saved that day. Imagine it. 3,000 people. It's shortly after that that he's walking into the temple where this man is healed. There's controversy, and you would think that people would be happy that a lame guy who'd been lame for 40 years had now been healed. But there were those that said, this is just not right. And you can rest assured that when God begins to do something, there will always be somebody standing on the sideline saying, this is just not right. They brought Peter and John before the council. And they began to give them a hard time. They began to challenge them as to what had happened and why it had happened. It's interesting because the Sanhedrin would come dressed in all their robes. They were the high court, the high council. They would come dressed in all their robes. And when they had someone who was accused, they would kind of form a circle and the accuser would be in the center. Now, that's a tough spot to be in. The accused would be in the center. And that is a really tough spot to be in, surrounded by people. But look at verse number 8. They asked Peter, they said, how are you doing this? In verse number 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And I want you to notice, first off, it says that Peter was, it doesn't say he was practiced in oratory. It didn't say he was amped up on Red Bull. You know, there's some people who think, well, if I can just get enough caffeine in my system, that'll do it. That's not what happened. It says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That there was an empowerment. And he said, you rulers of the people, elders of Israel, look at verse number 9. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? That's a huge question right there. Do you want to know how he was healed? I think he's really saying, are you sure you want to know now? In verse 10, he said, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And that last phrase was like taking a knife, sticking it in, and twisting it. There's several reasons. Number one, they were behind Jesus being crucified in the first place. Number two, the Sanhedrin was made up in large part of Sadducees. There's two groups in the Bible that are often mentioned in the New Testament. There's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were kind of the religious fundamentalists. They believed in the supernatural. They believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees, I always remember them as being sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in angels. And above everything, they did not believe in the resurrection, any resurrection. They believed that you died, that was it, that's all, you're done. And now Peter comes, and he says, you need to understand, first of all, that Jesus, the man you crucified, has been raised from the dead. He's not in the grave anymore. So here's strike one. Strike one, you crucified him. Strike two, he rose again, and you didn't think he could. And I can't overstate how bold that was. And he's saying, you killed Jesus. But he's back. He's risen. Let's look at verse 11. He doesn't stop there. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. He's standing before these men that don't believe in Jesus, who hated Jesus, and who had him put to death, and he is saying, you killed him, he's risen again, and he is the only way you can be saved. There is salvation in no one else, for God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And you can imagine that 2,000 years ago, that was controversial in that time. What strikes me today is that the name of Jesus still is controversial. There have been oft times at public events where ministers who were praying have been instructed, you can pray in the name of God, you can pray in whatever you want, but do not mention the name of Jesus. But there is, you know, everybody likes a little God talk. You know, talk about the big guy in the sky. You can talk about the man above. But when you begin to narrow it down, you begin to talk about Jesus, people often start getting uncomfortable. But look at verse number 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. There's three things I want to give to you very quickly. The first thing is this, that God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. It's interesting that the word that's translated there, they call them ignorant and unlearned men, ordinary men. Their Greek word is idiotis. You can guess what the English word is that comes from that. And it means unlearned. It means those that are not at the highest levels. There's good news, though. If you're the brightest of the brightest, God works through the brightest of the brightest, like the Apostle Paul. But if you don't count yourself as being anything special, God loves to take the ordinary and use it to be extraordinary. There's so many different ways to be bold. To be bold doesn't mean, you know, somebody sent me a video of a guy standing, literally standing on a box on a street corner. He had a little amp and microphone, and he's just telling everybody around him who's walking by that they're going to hell. Now that, we might call that bold, but we could also say it may be an unwise approach. But the Bible teaches us that we need to be as bold as a lion. It doesn't mean that I'm accosting everybody and telling them, do you know that you're straight on your way to hell? It doesn't mean that. But there are times when you will be challenged, and when your faith will be under pressure. It may be that you're in the workplace and everybody else is gossiping and you walk away from it and say, that's not for me. Bold. That because of my faith, I'm not going to be a part of it. It may be that you're a guy and all your buddies are chasing women and they're making them objects. And you make up your mind, I'm going to treat them like they are the created image of God. I'm going to honor my future wife that I haven't even met yet. I'm going to honor my present God who calls me to live by a different standard. That is being bold. It may be that as a woman or a young lady today that you accept the challenge that while everybody else around you, your friends maybe, you know, dressing with next to nothing on. And that to be bold means I want to honor God. You see, to dress modestly is not about the people around you, it's about honoring the God who called you. It means I want to honor God, and that is boldness. Boldness may be that you're in a business deal and you can make a lot of money on it. But you're looking at it and you're going, you know, there's something about this that just is not ethically right. I don't feel right about it. And I can make a lot of money, but I refuse to compromise my ethics and my beliefs. And you walk away from it. And there may be those who are criticizing and saying, you know what? We could have made a lot of money, but you're bold to stand up for what you believe. God can take ordinary people and give them extraordinary boldness. The second thing is your boldness will amaze the world. Boldness is not simply how loud I speak. Boldness is that my belief is matched in my behavior. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it said, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They said, these guys didn't go to Gamaliel's university. We know they've been with Jesus, but that's about all we know about them. They're nothing special. They were amazed. They knew they could have these guys killed. And these guys didn't care. Imagine that. There will be times that you'll discover that when you stand for what you believe, when you are bold as a lion, that there will be those who will say, I may not agree with what they're saying or their stand they're taking, but wow, they've got courage to do it. Bold. They were amazed. I'm talking about living with bold integrity. That boldness that when you're faithfully serving people in the name of Jesus, it gives you the opportunity to speak in the name of Jesus. Boldness. And the third thing, and this is really important, is that spiritual boldness comes from knowing Jesus. It says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How could Peter and John stand in the face of possible death and declare what they did that day? It was because he knew Jesus. He'd had a life-changing experience, not only at the resurrection, but at Pentecost. His life had been forever transformed. And when you spend time with Jesus, it leads to boldness. Boldness is not the goal. Knowing Jesus is the goal, but boldness is the byproduct of knowing Jesus. See, when you spend time with Jesus, it leads to faith. And as your faith in Jesus grows, it leads to boldness. And as you experience that boldness, and as it grows, it leads to results. And when you see spiritual results, guess what? You spend more time with Jesus. And as you spend more time with Jesus, your faith grows. And as your faith grows, your boldness grows. And as your boldness grows, what you see happen grows. And as you see more things happen, you begin to spend more time with Jesus. And as you do you see where this is going? And as you spend more time with Jesus, you get more faith. And as you get more faith, you get more boldness. And as you get more boldness, you begin to step out and see things happening. And as you see things happening, you say, glory to God, I've got to spend more time with Jesus. And as you spend more time with Jesus, you have greater faith. And as you have greater faith, you get greater boldness. And when you have greater boldness, you have greater things. And when you have greater things, you realize, I got to go back and be with Jesus again. And when you go... And when you go back and be with Jesus... your faith gets built. As your faith gets built, anybody see the pattern here? As your faith gets built, you have greater boldness. And as you have greater boldness, you see greater things. And as you see greater things, you realize, I need Jesus to help me to see greater things than this. They've been with Jesus. And if Peter and John, who were apostles, needed to be with Jesus, how much more do you and I, who are not members of that group, the 12 apostles, need Jesus to see the boldness, to see the supernatural? Mark chapter 16, Jesus commissioned his disciples. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say the 12 apostles. He didn't say great pastors or preachers or evangelists. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You can read it in Mark 16, 16. He said, they'll heal the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. He talks about the miraculous things that God would do through them that believe. But the way we build our belief is by getting with Jesus. You get with Jesus through prayer and the Word. Paul said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we're with Jesus, we begin to build our faith. And when your faith is built, you begin to say things that otherwise you would be scared to death to say. When your faith is strong, you begin to take steps of faith that before you would say, oh, there's no way anything could ever happen like that. Because they had been with Jesus. Do you know the problem is the opposite is true as well? That when you don't spend time with Jesus, your faith gets weak. When your faith gets weak, your boldness gets weak. When your boldness is weak, nothing happens. And then you're back to that same old cycle again. But there's something about being with Jesus. And I believe that God is going to raise up men and women, both young and old, with a holy boldness that goes beyond anything we've ever experienced, that will make an impact in our generation, in our city. A holy boldness that is behavior born out of our belief. This is, I believe that God can do above and beyond what I could ever imagine. And I'm willing to live my life accordingly. So we stand together this morning. I want to ask you where you would place yourself. If you had a boldness scale from 1 to 10, where you place yourself. And remember, I'm not talking about standing on a street corner yelling. And I know that there have been some that have had good results from doing that, and God bless them. Most people don't. But I'm talking about living a life of boldness. That I'll stand for my convictions, I'll stand for what I believe, because I've been with Jesus. I'm not going to be a Christian second or third in my life. I'm going to be a Christian first and follow him. I'm going to ask you, if you would just bow your heads with me as we get ready to pray. And I want to invite you, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, to make a decision to want to know Jesus so much that boldness is just a byproduct of your relationship with him. That, Lord, through my relationship with you, my faith will be built so that I will not be afraid to stand. I will not be afraid to speak. I will not be afraid to live to glorify God. Lord Jesus, right now, we invite your presence to move among us. We invite your presence to speak into our hearts. Lord, I pray for some here today that you will implant a holy desire for the supernatural to happen. Lord, I pray for others that, Lord, today that boldness that comes from the gospel will be so implanted in their lives. Lord, that their belief will be shown in their behavior in new ways in their life. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. I ask you now that your Spirit would move among us, Lord, that you would be at work here in this place. And Lord, that you would take us. Lord, that you would be at work in us and through us to touch our world. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have a time of prayer. And as we do, I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come and to stand here together at the front. Nobody's going to force you to do it, but I want to invite you to come. And as we come, the Bible teaches us that our prayer matters. I want to invite you to find somebody just to pray with. Say, God, enable both of us. Be at work in us today.